Blog Talk Radio. Welcome to BLT, Business, Life, Transitions, the show that explores all the latest trends in your business, life, and our favorite topic, transitions. Hosted by Brian Basilico, the Director of Direction with B2B Interactive Marketing, and Jan Marino, CEO of High Gain Companies, Inc. And now it's time for some insightful conversation and interviews with your hosts, Brian and Jan.
Well, good morning, everyone. This is Brian, and Jan is taking another day of sick leave, so it's just going to be you, me, and our guests. So anyways, hope you're having a fabulous week. And this week, I kind of want to talk a little bit about self-education, and because that's what our topic is about today, is educating yourself. One of the things that I've learned over the course of many, many years is you've got to continue to keep yourself current. And one of the examples of that is years and years ago, I owned a recording studio. And that recording studio had 5 employees, $250,000 worth of equipment, doing $500,000 a year in business, which is a pretty darn good business considering. But, you know, as time and everything evolved, that same amount of equipment, maybe not all the people could get as much done, you know, by myself, but you can pretty much buy a $10 app on your iPhone that does all of that stuff, and it does it actually a little bit better. So you can buy apps for $10, $20, even $100, where I was talking $250,000 worth of equipment, and that's how things evolve. Technology changes. I mean, back then there was no iPhones or laptops. Well, there are laptops, but not like they are today. No tablets. You know, there were no apps. And technology has really come a long way. And it's the same thing with video production. It's the same thing with a lot of other things, is we've got to keep ourselves current on the latest and current technologies. One of the things that I do a lot of is I teach a lot of classes to TUG groups, which are groups of unemployed people that are looking to find jobs. And one of the things that I try to teach them is how to use social media to go job hunting, or how to put your name out there via social media, or how to write a profile on LinkedIn. Because all of those things are incredibly important. People don't look at resumes as much anymore. I mean, you could still send them out, but people are going to research you online. They're going to look at your LinkedIn profile. They're going to look at your Facebook posts. And, yeah, one of the things I also teach is to high school students to say, you know, be careful what you're putting on your Facebook, because when you get out of college, by the time you're ready to start looking for a job, companies are going to go out and research you. And if you show in all kinds of stuff that you wouldn't want to show your mama, I guarantee you the employee or the employer will find those, and they will have pretty much the same reaction. So, you know, you got to be careful as to what you post, especially if you want to, you know, use social media to get a job, which you will by the time it's done. So, you know, you've got to keep yourself kind of flowing and educated into the way that things work. That's why we do this show, is to bring you really great guests and to teach you some new concepts, maybe some things you haven't thought about when it comes to transitioning from maybe working for a corporation or working for yourself or getting into retirement or whatever it is that you're doing. The whole purpose of the show is to help you work through that transition. And we have a guest today, and her name is Barbara. And excuse me if I say this wrong. Is it Provost? Is that right?
Barbara? It's Provo.
Provo. Okay. Thank you.
Yeah, Provo.
Gotcha. Okay. I always want to add the ending to it. So how are you doing today, Barbara?
I'm doing great. How are you?
I'm doing very well. I don't know if you heard or not, but Jan is on sick leave today, so it's just you and me. And so I wanted to start off by just asking a little bit about you. And, you know, I know that you've got doctorate degrees, that you're big time into education, that you're on the board of some magnet schools and things like that. Can you tell us a little bit about your journey, how you got in education, and how you got to where you are now?
Sure. You know, when I started college, I was an adult returning to school. I didn't follow the traditional path of touring schools and selecting a school with my parents. I was pretty much on my own And so I decided that not having a college education wasn't really serving me. So I started at a junior college and worked all the way up from getting my undergrad from National Lewis University to then going back and getting a master's in business there, which I really loved because I was always working in the business world, in banking and in, you know, insurance and financial industries. And once I got my master's in business, I thought, you know, I'd love to teach, which I did. So I was working full-time and then working as an adjunct teaching. And I loved working with adults who were returning to school. And a lot of the work that I was doing in business was really being a liaison between, like, a customer service area and the technical area. So I was the person that was really translating and helping and supporting people learn what they needed to know to be successful in their working environment. So that led me to thinking about getting my doctorate, and I searched some schools in the area, and I chose a great program at Northern Illinois University and earned and received a doctorate in adult and higher learning. And that's very different. Most people, it's an EDD, and most people are not that familiar with it because it seems more administration for education. But what I really learned and what I love is building education courses, content, webinars, online learning for adults in the working environment so that they can be more confident and competent in the work that they do in their daily routine.
That's awesome. So let me ask you this question. In the case of, just because we're in this kind of mode right now of talking about adapting and change and things like that, classroom versus webinar and online training, can you give me your opinions and thoughts and feelings about that? Because some people are very adamant that you have to meet face-to-face, and some people say, no, online is just as good. Can you give us a little bit of background on your thoughts?
Sure, sure. Let me just also add that I've been teaching online for Roosevelt University as well. So all of the teaching that I've been doing has been online using the tool that many are familiar with, which is Blackboard. You know, one versus the other, I always go to what's the content? What is it that the person or the adult needs to learn to do? Because there are some content that's very, very applicable to online learning. And there's some content that would be better served if people could meet face-to-face. For instance, when people are learning sales training, and sales is an interaction with another person, there's some content you can learn about the product or the process or whatever the services that you might be selling. You can learn that information online. But when it's coming to the skill of really selling that or explaining it to another person, I really feel the face-to-face interaction is necessary because we want training and education to be as close as to how the user is really going to use it in the real world. So you wouldn't always sell, you know, by yourself on a computer. Sometimes maybe you could say there's a niche for that, but ultimately when you're in a sales environment, you're talking to another person, you're reading their body language, you're listening to the questions that they're asking. And so that part, the selling piece, I would say, would be face-to-face. So that's an example of where you really need to look at what's the content, what's the learning objective, what is it that the person has to be able to do, and what's the best setting to learn that.
So let me ask you this, your own transition from working in corporate America to starting your own company, it's been, what, close to 8 years now, is that right?
Right. I've been having my own company, Provo Consulting, for the last 8 years. I was working for a great insurance company, and at that time I was working and going to school, earning my doctorate. And what I found for myself was, you know, I loved working in the corporate environment. I learned much there, and there's great people there. But for what I needed internally for myself, I had just earned a doctorate, and allowed me to really expand and think about how could I leverage my education in the ways that I really love to do that. Because I had a passion for adult learning, I was really, you know, in a place where corporate was handing me the work to do, and I would do it, but I wanted to be able to go out and find the work that I really love to do. So I leveraged my 9 years of experience there and left, started my own company, and it allowed me to, first of all, be a consultant, to larger organizations on adult and higher learning, helping them develop and design education strategies and content. It also allowed me to do some adjunct facilitation online for Roosevelt University. And I also went back and received my certification as a coach. So it really opened up a plethora of lots of different opportunities for me to explore and to go out and use my my education and also use my passion in the different ways that I wanted to use it.
Great. So as far as your business goes, what can you kind of give an idea of, you know, how you go into companies and what kind of work you do with them and how do you help them and maybe even some results that they've gotten out of that, if you could. I know that's a lot, but.
Yeah. No, I'm asked that question a lot. So organizations might, you know, adult and higher learning, there's a lot of, you know, there's a strategy that you can use, and it doesn't have to be in the financial realm. You can use this template or this methodology in lots of different organizations. My passion, my desire, and my background and interest is in financial and insurance companies. So a lot of these companies, you know, every day they're thinking about a new strategy that they can implement. Maybe it's getting their customers to sign their documents online instead of having to sign a paper document and send it in, which everybody's looking for more efficiencies in their processes. Let's say it's a new product that they want to sell, or maybe it's a change to a product. Well, the company will design what that process or procedure or product might look like, but they need to train a lot of people. So if I'm working with a large organization, they need to train, you know, the internal home office folks on this is a new product that we're selling. This is why we're selling it. This is what we hope for it to do for our company. These are the people that are going to be selling it for us. Then we need to go to the field and train all the leadership and say, here's the new product that we're going to sell. And they need to know how they can support the field in selling that product. Then we go to the people that are selling the product, and they have to say, what's the product? Why are we selling this? What's the benefit for the customer? You know, what's the process that we use to sell this product? How do we transact it through technology that we need to use? You know, what's the end result? So there's a lot of pieces and parts and information that the whole organization needs to know on varying different levels of the product. So we'll go in and we'll help create the strategy of how do we, what is it that the product is, what is it for, how is it used, and we'll really define what the objectives are. And it could be different for different levels of the organization. And we'll build a strategy out and say, okay, this level needs to know this by when, this level needs to know this by when, and then the people that are actually selling it need to know more details about it, how to transact it. And we'll work in partnership with the team as they're evolving and developing products or services. We'll build the education. We'll say, is this a webinar? Is this both a webinar and an online learning? Is this an instructor-led event? We'll decide what's the content, what's the time frame, who's the audience. All of these things come into play when you're designing education. We'll create it in partnership with the team. We'll make sure that it's legally approved. And then we'll help them train trainers, or we'll go out and do the training ourselves to help support the team and help roll out the education.
Wow, that's a lot.
It is a lot.
You really
it
don't think about it, but it is a lot. It's a lot of work and a lot of moving parts and nooks and crannies in something like that.
It's funny, I'll say to people, you know, whenever you go to a workshop or a seminar or a conference, and you open your binder or whatever materials are in front of you, somebody actually had to write those. And they're like, oh, I never thought about that. It's true.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of work that goes on behind the scenes.
Right. And that's very true. And you know, one of the things that I do is I'm a professional speaker. And a lot of people just think that you just show up and talk.
Right.
They have no concept, you know, of all the planning that goes into it and all the time developing the materials and the years of learning, you know, just how to present the materials and gathering all the information and putting together handouts or whatever you do. Yeah, there's a lot that goes into those things. And so you're basically doing that on steroids for all practical purposes. So
that's true. And oftentimes I'm also teaching an organization what education looks like, because like what you're saying, sometimes people will say, well, we'll just put it in a PowerPoint presentation and tell them. And what
right.
I always have to do is go back and say, you know, when you're training someone, think of it as like trying to train, you know, a dog to jump through a hoop. That's changed behavior. You're trying to teach someone to do something differently, to try something new, to help them feel comfortable with this new process, procedure, or product. So when we're training people, it's a lot more intensive and a lot more thinking about what are the activities that they need to do in order to try what they're going to have to do differently. So it's not just telling people what they need to do differently, but it's really looking at it at a different level from a different purview and saying, what do we need to build in the training to make the end user feel comfortable? What I always say is feel confident and competent that once they leave that training, they can go out and do something differently. They can sell that product. They can have that conversation. So there's a lot more work that goes into it than most people ever think.
That's a great point. So in the course of the years of doing this stuff, what are some of the biggest, I hate to say rejections, but, you know, pushback from the trainees? You know, what kind of, because let's face it, people don't like to change. They mm-hmm. like things straightforward and comfortable, and, you know, they want to live the life that they think that is perfect right now, and then if you're going to force me to learn how to do this, now I got to learn something new, and so,
yeah.
You know what I'm saying. What are some of the biggest pushbacks, that you see from people who are learning new things?
Well, you know, learning is scary for a lot of people because, like you say, they're comfortable in what they're doing today. They know it works. And the biggest thing is, you know, first of all, I'm a very pragmatic educator. I don't like to build education with a lot of fluff or make it longer than it needs to be because we're all busy and we just want to kind of get to the point. What do I need to do? What do I need to know? How can you help me? Where can I go for my resources? So I really try to look at it from the learner's perspective and say, if I was sitting in training and I needed to learn this, what are like the core curriculum components that I need to make sure they know before they leave here? First of all, people need to know, why do I need to learn this? Sometimes people go right into the training and don't explain the larger picture of why this is important and why the organization is going this way and what is their role in the whole strategy. So once they understand why that's important and you can get them to, you know, buy in or see what's in it for them or why it's important for them to do this, and they understand that, then they're like, okay, I get it. If we don't do this, then we can't do that or whatever the reality is. And then I like to make training engaging and purposeful. So make it real for them. When you're at your desk and you're doing this transaction, you know, and they're familiar with what they're, you know, you're speaking their language. Yes, I remember, I do that every day. No, we're going to do it this way, and this is why. So you have to make it really applicable to what they're doing in their daily life. And simple, you know, be clear, use simple language. Let them try it. Let them ask questions. Build an environment where it's safe for them to say, I don't really understand. Can you show me again? So, you know, people, I think they're fearful of learning because they're afraid they're not going to learn it or understand it or not be able to ask questions. So when adults are in a learning environment, you really have to build an environment where people feel safe, where you're not wasting their time, where they really feel like what they're learning is important and valuable, and where they can go for more resources if they have questions after the training.
Mm-hmm. Awesome. So let's talk about just general public. We're not talking about, you know, corporations that are setting up plans and having strategic things, but just in general, what are your thoughts about, you know, continuing education for, say, people in their 40s and 50s? I mean, what kind of skill sets or what kind of things do they need to learn in order to stay current, to maintain or maintain their employability? What kind of things are going to help people move? Because one of the things we talk a lot about on this show, and it's kind of a joke, but it's not, is the minute you turn 40, people start handing you your consultant's license because you're not as employable as you used to be. And so what kind of things can people learn and do to help them maintain their employability and pliability in the marketplace?
Mm-hmm. You know, when I jumped on the line, I heard you talking a little bit about this earlier, but a lot of it is really understanding social media. You know, we're not going to retreat from that. It's only going to go forward. It's only going to get more complex. There's more and more applications out there every day. And it's about, you know, the ability to use computers and really engage online and through social media. That doesn't mean that you need to know everything that's out there. You have to really look around in your own organization or in your own world. What are the typical top five or six things that people that I should know about this, and how can I learn about it? even people under 40 are still struggling with some of the new social media. We've designed and developed using social media for recruiting for large organizations and really teaching people, like you were talking about LinkedIn, some of the functionality of LinkedIn and really leveraging the power of that. I mean, not just writing your profile, but what are the other features and functions that can really help you network out there, or if you're looking for a new job or you're looking for more connections, you know, digging deeper into a tool. Even Facebook, you know, Facebook is always changing and keeping refreshed and updated. That's what we need to do. We need to make sure that every day we're learning, you know, we're taking 20 minutes to say, what's something new and different? You know, what's a new blog? What's a new website I should go to? You know, it's such an evolution and it's moving faster and faster. It's hard to keep up with, but just being in the know a little bit and trying a few new things and maybe networking with other folks and learning together is always helpful as well. But I think ongoing learning for everybody is so important because the world is just moving so quickly. And just, you know, looking at your own circle of education and your own working environment and saying, what's going to benefit me most? And asking other people, what's helped you? What can I do? You know, and I really think, you know, like 20 minutes a day will really help you keep updated and refreshed.
Yeah, I'm with you 110% there. As a matter of fact, you brought a tear to my eye. That's my specialty is I do social media. I'm a social media marketing person. And, you know, it's a part of what I do. I'm not so much as of an educator as you, but I'm more of somebody that will go into like a company and help them set up a strategy for their sales team on how to use LinkedIn to communicate or any kind of social media. I mean, I've got one coming up that they want to talk Instagram and Twitter and texting. But it's how do we create a unified system and strategy so that all of our salespeople are working consistently to utilize these tools to better communicate with our clients, you know, and keep them in the loop and things like that. So that's one way of using it, where there's, you mentioned so many of them. And the other thing that you talked about, which is incredibly important, is this stuff changes all the time. I mean, that's, I always say to people that I'm a professional student. I go in and learn all the changes and the nooks and crannies and the tools and the things so that I can teach them to you so that you don't have to go in every single day. But the problem is they're not coming to me often enough to get anything out of it. It is very hard to keep up with. And one of the things that I try to stress, and this is my own personal goal, is I try to take, and it's a hard goal to live up to, is an hour a day to educate myself on something. Very self-motivated that way, that whether I'm learning something, you know, yesterday I sat down and listened to a pre-recorded webinar on LinkedIn just to see, you know, what somebody else's take was on it, learn something about, like you said, find new websites, read some blogs, listen to some podcasts. There's tons of ways to consume training, and there's lots of new technology out there that'll help you do that. I mean, podcasts are fabulous. You get in your car, and if you've got a 20-minute commute, sometimes you can listen to two or three of them. You know, they'll teach you new things. Yeah, so there's a lot of great learning tools out there that I think people could be, you know, to utilize. It's up to you though. You've got to know your own strengths, your own weaknesses, and this is where maybe getting a coach or something would help you find out where you need to learn things in order to keep yourself in that loop. So you brought up some really, really great points, as you can tell I'm very passionate about.
Well, we're on the same wavelength, that's for sure.
Amen. So, Barb, if people wanted to get a hold of you, I know that we got about 5 minutes or so, but you're starting a new thing called Purse Strings, and you might want to talk a little bit about that. And then also, at the very end, we want to know how to get a hold of you. So why don't you tell us a little bit about Purse Strings and what that is and how that's upcoming.
Okay, great. So Purse Strings is a new business that I'm starting. It's over my years and years and years of working in the financial and insurance industry, I've observed and seen and done a lot of research on the fact that women are underserved and in the financial and insurance industry for lots of different reasons. And women are not really taking charge of their own retirement and financial and business decisions. A lot of that I find is because they are afraid and they just have kind of deferred it or deferred it to another person to take care of them. And I really think the time is now for women to really make sure they understand what they need to do to make good financial business decisions for themselves and for their families. And so what we're doing is we're educating women. So it's all about, what do I need to know? in these small one-topic sessions that are going to be live in small groups in people's homes, very much like the Tupperware or small gathering type of in-home sessions that many, many women participate in today. But we're just going to do one topic on different financial and business-related informational things that women need to know. For instance, what's a good way to budget? Not you should budget, but what are some tips and tricks that you can teach me on budgeting? What about my income that's flowing in and out of my house? How do I get a hold of it? And, you know, where is it going? Who's taking some of my money in terms of the state, the federal government, Social Security? How about Social Security? What do I need to know about Social Security as I move towards retirement? So a lot of these are big topics for people that they feel they can't understand, but they can. So we're building these one-topic Perstrings-approved sessions that are very inexpensive, if not free, to women. And what we want them to do is then make sure they're well taken care of. On the other side of that, we are going to ask insurance and financial professionals to join Perstrings as a member and be trained on what it is to engage with women in these conversations in order to make sure they're making good decisions. So there's a lot more to come on that. We'll be rolling out at the end of the year. I'm very excited about it. So I can be reached at barb@bprovost.com, and I also have a website, bprovost.com. You can find a lot of information about me and my contact information there as well.
Barb, that's awesome, and good luck. I really like your concept with the purse strings. I think that's a really neat and probably incredibly needed thing. So
yes.
Sorry about the dog bark, but so anyways, I really appreciate you joining us, and I will say hi to Jan for you, and again,
thank you.
About the dog. So thank you very much, and have yourself a great day.
Thanks so much.
All right,
you
everybody.
Too.
Thank you. All right, everybody, I'm going to end a little early today because somebody's at my door, and my dog is barking, and I've got no backup to get it. So I'm going to wish you all a great day, and have yourself a pleasant tomorrow. Talk to you soon.
Okay, that's today's BLT, Business, Life, Transitions. You can contact Brian at bbasilico@me.com and Jan at jan.highgainco@gmail.com. Join us again next week for some more great insight about your business, your life, and your transitions. Till next time, thanks for tuning in.